Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. I am glad to be back with you today. And just let me tell you, before I go further in the broadcast, the clouds are outside are so dark right now. And so I hope and pray that this broadcast will not be interrupted. But if it does, you will certainly know what happened. Good Thursday evening to you. You know, I was so excited today. I tell you what, I'm excited first of all about the beginning of the NFL season. Tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be playing the New England Patriots. And, you know, I've always liked Pittsburgh, and especially tonight, I like Michael Vick as a quarterback. I've always liked him. And even when he played for Atlanta, and he was a quarterback for Atlanta. But I'm excited to see him play against even Tom Brady to see how he – I don't know if he's going to be starting off the bench, but I'm just glad about football starting, period. I mean, I love football. And so I'm very happy about that. I've I've been watching tennis, Venus and Serena, and there's this other particular player, tennis player, I think is so skilled, so skillful. I can't pronounce his name. I think they pronounce it Jovic or something. I think he's so skillful, and I like the way he plays. There was this young man named Young that was particularly skillful, even though he did not advance through the semifinals. But, I mean, I enjoy that. You know what I enjoy? Like when they run up to the net and kind of fool the other player. The other player is going left, and they bat the ball right. I like that kind of stuff. I think it's so cool. I think it's so entertaining. And so I've been watching that all week, only because my sister is a tennis fan, and I kind of got interested in it. But my first love is football. So tonight I will be watching that. Now, you know, I want to talk about, as I always do, unless there's something in my own personal memory or experience that I want to share with you today. I was looking at the Baltimore case again today, and of course, there's been an approval of the $6.4 million settlement for the Freddie Gray family, and I just think that is a good idea. I mean, it saves the taxpayers' dollars. If this case were to proceed to trial in a civil with a civil claim, it could be that the city of Baltimore could be assessed punitive damages, which can be sometimes massive. I mean, you know, more than $6.4 million. It could be $24 million. So I just think that is in the best interest of the city of Baltimore. And it shows, like I said, goodwill toward the family and toward the citizens of the city of Baltimore. Why not? If you have the evidence, if you know you have it, if you know it's there, you know what it says, you know what it represents, why not go ahead and take care of the case? And like the person said, I believe it was the mayor of the city of Baltimore, is that it has nothing to do with the criminal case. Well, it does. I mean, when you say that, I mean, a lot of lay people don't understand that. They'll say, how in the world? But it does. I mean, it's kind of like the same evidence, but it's the way the evidence is interpreted and the burdens of proof that have to be met in a civil case versus a criminal case. And, you know, just to speak like a lay person right now, the easiest way to say it is that a civil case, the burden is lower. So, you know, say you had to jump 10 inches to get a dollar, okay? That's kind of like a civil case. Criminal case, it's like you have to jump 2 feet to get a dollar. And so that's how it is. The standard of proof is much higher and burden is much higher in a criminal case. And, you know, the evidence at the level of the 10 inches is probably viewed as easy to get, easy to interpret. The burden, remember I told you, the preponderance of the evidence, more likely than not, that something maybe negligent happened. I believe that's the burden they're going by, and that the parties involved are responsible for those damages, and that would be the death of Freddie Gray. It saves taxpayer dollars. I mean, I have tried cases with municipal legal departments in the Detroit City Law Department, and I mean, it takes the staff sometimes, a big staff, to handle those big cases. And so the taxpayers, unfortunately, pay those salaries. And so if something certainly is pretty much already proven to be true, why not go ahead and settle the case? I think it promotes goodwill. It's like, look, something wrong happened, and it is wrong. And therefore, you know, we're going to settle this case. Now, what I wanted to talk about was the motion for change of venue that the judge decided today. And I believe the judge decided that case correctly, that motion directly, only because it is very difficult to meet the burden of a motion for change of venue, because you have to actually prove that the defendant will be prejudiced in some way, that they're going to be harmed by the pretrial publicity or something else of that matter. Maybe that the potential jurors are biased or prejudiced in some fashion, and therefore the defendant or defendant will be unable to get a fair trial. And it's pretty much, I was looking at some of the cases online just a moment ago, you know, from the Court of Appeals case in Ohio, actually, it was a Batten versus Batten case. I believe it was a divorce, a family law case. But what happens is if you can't demonstrate to the court that there's an actual bias or prejudice that will prevent the defendant from having a fair trial, then you probably the likelihood of winning a Batten or change of venue motion is going to be, I'm sorry, not Batten, a change of venue motion is going to be very, very low. Normally, I have tried criminal cases where the motion for change of venue, as change of county or location, it's normally not municipalities, it's county to county. Normally, that motion actually is brought right at the jury trial after the jurors have been assembled. And after they have been presented with a line of questioning about whether they can, you know, how much publicity did they hear about the case? How many news stories did they hear? Do they remember the facts, particular facts of those news stories? And if it any way persuaded or influenced their opinion of the case? And if so, how strongly? And if it's so strong that they can't neutral and objective jurors, then that would then be a potential prejudice to the defendant. And so sometimes you can't even prove or provide the evidence to the court of such a motion until you have a juror, a panel of jurors right there in front of you. And then you're questioning the jurors and they say to the judge, look, I can't decide this case fairly, without prejudice, because I've heard so much about the case, and not to mention gossip and so forth. If you live in the locale where the case is being heard, and I looked at some other cases of revolving about change of venue, the Boston bomber case, and the there was another. But so it's a very high burden to meet, and that's why the Boston bomber case was held and conducted jury trial was conducted right there in Boston. And so I believe the Judge Brown, I believe it is, made the right decision. He made the right decision, and that case will be tried in the city of Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, what the difference is times. Have you ever heard, well, let me tell you what my impressions are as a practitioner, legal practitioner. I have heard cases talked about in the media and then been sitting in a courtroom or my case, and actually the evidence is so different. The evidence is so different when you're sitting in a trial. It's more particular. The evidence is explained by both parties, and it's different than just a cursory news report that may not be totally correct anyway. And so I believe that it's hard to continue to be influenced by news reports when you have the real, real concrete evidence sitting in front of you in the courtroom. It's much different, and that's why we see a lot of different verdicts than what we expect outside of the courtroom. For instance, i.e. the O.J. Simpson trial, that jury was sitting there all of that time looking at the pieces of evidence, and they were presented directly to them. Now, commentator after commentator had an opinion about how the case should go, but they were sitting there looking and observing the evidence for themselves. And in the criminal case, O.J. Simpson was acquitted. Now, going to that, the difference between a civil case and a criminal case, the burden for the civil case was lower than that of the criminal case. And so with the civil case, there was a finding of that O.J. Simpson owed money. Well, that could very well happen in the Baltimore City of Baltimore case with the police officers. We will see what happens. And I know it's hard to understand that, but I try to explain it as much as possible when as best as possible when I'm talking about, you know, having to jump 10 inches as opposed to having to jump 2 feet. Totally different, and it's just more work. There's a higher burden. There's more thinking, and we will see what happens. But the judge did make the right decision, and I'm glad. I think it's a good move on the part of the city of Baltimore. I think at this point things are on track, and I believe there will be a demonstration of justice in that city. And so that's good news. It's good news for the citizens of that city. It's good news to just the country in general. And so that's what I have to say to you today. I think I'm going to end the broadcast. Looks like it's mad rain outside. And so I'm going to end the broadcast. Thank you for listening to the broadcast again today. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/SettingTheRecordStraight2015 to listen to an archived episode of this broadcast. You may email me at bks1233@outlook.com. In the event you have a question, you have a comment, a response, a criticism, or information that you would like me to share in a subsequent broadcast. Again, I thank you for listening to the broadcast. Have a very good evening. Talk to you next time.